Welcome into Public Perspective for this Saturday morning. Ray Michaels, joined by a pair of lovely ladies. Would each of you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, my name is Kendra Allen. I'm one of the agriculture instructors and FFA advisors at the Mexico High School.
Hi, my name is Ellen Phillips, and I'm the vice president of our FFA chapter here.
Very good. And thanks for giving up part of your Saturday morning to come in and join us. Kendra, how has COVID-19 impacted Mexico FFA over the spring?
COVID-19 has really changed what FFA looks like for us in the spring. Typically, we're busy hustling, going to career development events and doing trap shoots and such. And we did not get to do much of that this spring. But the kids are staying involved with their supervised agriculture experiences at home. I've got a lot of kids sending me pictures. They're working cows, they're playing gardens, working on agri-science projects. So they're staying engaged, just not in the way that we typically stay engaged in the spring.
I do have to give you credit for the bingo card that came out early on in this whole event, things that they could earn points for. Tell us just a little bit about that, because that was a really cool event.
So when we started our at-home stay, we didn't realize it was going to be this long, and we wanted to make sure the kids were staying involved, and we wanted to keep the points chart going. And so Mr. McBride and I brainstormed some community service type things. The kids had to write thank you cards or pick up trash, help out a neighbor, work on goal setting, and all those got turned in, and then they went towards their points chart. And typically, kids have to go to activities to get those points, so they had to send me pictures or videos to prove that that's what they did.
And how many participated?
About 10.
Okay. Ellen, were you one of them that participated?
Yes, I was.
What was the favorite thing that you did off of that particular bingo card?
I believe one of them was like cook a treat for a family member or neighbor, and it seems I've just been cooking all quarantine, which is something I love to do, so it's just kind of an added incentive to like get points for it too.
Well, sure. What has the crisis taught not only Mexico FFA, but FFA as an organization?
I think from the advisor standpoint, relationships are very important. Being able to talk to the kids, text messages, or Google Hangouts has really been hard for me because I'm a face-to-face person. But I think the relationships we built early on in the school year have allowed me to keep up those relationships through the virtual world that we're living in right now.
Has it prompted you to kind of get out of your comfort zone? Besides being a face-to-face person, the chapter as a whole, has it kind of forced you to think outside the box to come up with activities?
Very much so. One of our biggest activities in the spring is banquet. We have about 250 people. There's no way we're going to be able to have 250 people in one room in May. And so we've been brainstorming, how can we provide these kids with a banquet to try to keep it normal, but definitely not going to be able to do it inside like normal. So we have a date set in July. Hopefully all the bands will be pulled enough. We can do some type of outside banquet. We don't want to release too much information. The kids don't know yet. We're trying to keep it a secret. But I think that they're going to like what we have planned for them.
Well, good. And that checks off the next question, because we were going to talk about the chapter banquet. So that's good. I didn't want to let the goat out of the gate too early, so to speak. But how has, and this will be a question for both of you, how has not having an in-person state convention impacted you, Kendra, and you, Ellen, from a totally different standpoints here?
From the advisor standpoint, seeing the kids on stage, like especially on proficiency night, because we had a lot of seniors get proficiencies, and so it was, you know, they've been working for this for 4 years. We had 11 kids supposed to get their state degree. Seeing that excitement on their face and then being able to celebrate with them after, that was really hard for me as an advisor, but the state officer team stepped up and they did a virtual. So each night during the week of state convention, I was able to jump on the TV and watch YouTube and see my kids competing. Even though we weren't together, we were able to still see how well they did.
And it was cool. I watched a few of those myself, so very good. Ellen, what was it like for you not having a state convention to go to?
Kind of going off what Miss Allen said, I was one of the 11 who was supposed to get my state degree, so that was kind of a bummer. And then I was also one of the ones who was supposed to get a proficiency, so that kind of stinks too. But like she said, they stepped up and we still got to get recognized. You also have the hope that you get to make it to state in your career development events and leadership development events, so that kind of stinks too.
Sure, sure.
We didn't get to progress and compete and stuff to make it to the state level.
Ellen, explain what proficiencies are for those that may not know. Like me.
So as Ms. Allen mentioned earlier, we have supervised agricultural experiences. So there are a lot of different projects you can do. I do swine and country cured hams. And then there's cattle, goats, anything you can really think of, they have a category for it. So that's FFA is, agricultural education is a three-part model. So there's supervised agricultural experiences, classroom, and FFA. So you have one of those, and then you also have record books, which manages that. And so this, that all kind of wraps up agricultural education. And in the early spring, you get to apply for a proficiency, which is an award, to see, just compare yourselves to those in your area and district, see how well you're doing. And if you win an area, you get to go to state. And so, yeah.
Is
there, I don't know if that covered it.
It does. Is it a competitive event at state, or does it just go and be judged at the state level?
It is judged at the state
okay.
level.
So it's almost like the state fair, in an essence, yeah. taking a project to the state fair.
It's about a 15-page application.
Okay, it has, much different than the state fair.
Yeah, so they have to have action photos with captions. There's leadership parts to it. There's financials. They have to do a lot of writing. And so it, once they get out of the area competition, then it goes to state, and there's a panel of judges across the state that judge them. And so, you know, lots of different eyes looking at them. And then they pick a winner and then a second place. And then the winner gets to move on to nationals.
Okay, and that is next spring, is that, or
this
fall.
Fall.
This fall, that's
yep.
right.
October.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully that will go as scheduled.
Hopefully.
Or some way, shape, or form. Now, I know, Kendra, you didn't get to show off the brand new greenhouse this spring, but you did manage to pull off a plant sale, at least in some way. How is that working with Twillman's Feed?
It's working great. So we were one of the few schools who were lucky enough to have a plant sale. It was curbside, which we kind of liked in a way. We didn't have to worry about, you know, too many people in the greenhouse at one time. And then we had some plants left over, and Twillman stepped up and said, hey, if you have some plants you'd like to market through the through Tillman's, we'll be happy to help you with that. And they've sold 84 baskets. We are
wow.
currently out of plants, which is a good problem.
It's a good thing. Yeah. Good
so,
problem to have.
Hopefully that partnership that started kind of on accident will be able to continue in the future.
That's good. And will that maybe allow you to grow some extra plants to ship to Twillman and also keep some at the greenhouse for sale as well?
Right. That's kind of our hopes with the project. And it also gives the kids the kids in the greenhouse class an opportunity to work directly with a customer early on in the planning stages and the ordering stages. And this is what the customer wants, and then this is how we need to price it. So I can kind of teach it from a different standpoint, more of a wholesale sale versus a retail sale.
There you go. Now, you had some plant classes as well for the public. Were those able to go on this spring, or did they end up getting canceled?
So we had one the same day as the plant sale. We're going to do the plant sale in the okay. morning, and the planter class in the afternoon as a fundraiser. We were able to sell the planter kits through the greenhouse sale.
Okay.
We have plans for this fall because we had a bunch of supplies already purchased that we didn't get to sell, which is fine. We're going to do some type of fall plant class because the kids who are going to Washington, D.C. this summer don't get to go, but we have plans to go next summer. So that money will just roll right into next year. Yeah.
Now, are you going to do another wreath class? Because I missed out on getting signed up quick enough for that. So I want to know for my own benefit here.
Yes, we tentatively have 4 classes planned for next school year. We had a huge community support, and so we would like to kind of feed that that hunger that the community has.
Very good. Now, earlier in the week, you know, we talked right before we got started with the interview that things are not really well set for the summer as far as state FFA goes, but we did get a little bit of information from the Missouri State FFA advisor, Leon Buschdecker, about what camps and conferences and things are going to look like a little bit. What I want to do is kind of both of you can jump in and explain what some of these camps and conferences and things like that are, like the AgriScience Fair 2020. It's going to be an online judging, but what is the AgriScience Fair?
So the students take a question that they have that's related to science and agriculture, and they have to go through like a science fair project. They do all the planning, they do the experiment, and then they have to write a research paper. the Agri-Science Fair puts all that together, and they have to present it to industry leaders. Typically, it's at Mizzou. There's 30 schools there or so, and then those kids are selected to move on to nationals. This year, they're doing it, I believe, through Zoom, and so the kids will still have an interaction, just not the same that it would be if we could be, you know, face-to-face.
Face-to-face. Now, what's the difference between a career development event and a leadership development event? Ellen?
So a career development event usually is more hands-on. I was supposed to do livestock judging this spring, so that's a career development. There's meat judging, dairy cattle judging, ag mechanics, floriculture, entomology, things like that. And then a leadership development event is more of your speaking, your agricultural issues, agricultural sales. That's more of job interview. It's more of your speaking side versus your hands-on.
Okay. Does that kind of coincide a little bit with the LEAD conference for chapter officers at all?
So LEAD conference is for chapter officers to, number one, kind of start that cohesiveness that they need to have as an officer team, but it also allows them to work with state leaders in planning the chapter's program activities, which is kind of the layout of what we do all year. With every activity, there has to be goals and a budget. And then, you know, like, what are our expectations? Why are we doing this activity? And then at the end, we have to write, you know, like, how did it go? Was it a flop? Was it not a flop? Those types of things. And that's kind of what the LEAD conference is. It's only for chapter officers to kind of get them working in that mindset.
All right. And the HIMAX Academy and HYPE Academy, those are grade specific, aren't they?
Yeah, so HIMAX Academy is for freshman level. It is the top 100 outgoing freshmen. And they focus a lot on personal leadership and basic advocacy skills. They bring in leaders from the corn growers. There's a couple ag teacher presenters. Missouri Beef Council's there. They're hands-on with the kids working through, you know, like if you're going to post a picture of you and your market steer, what do you need to say? Like, don't just post a picture. Tell us what you're doing, because consumers don't understand. They don't live that life every day.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas HYPE kind of takes it one step farther, and that is for outgoing juniors, and they take what they learn, and it's the top 30, so it kind of it gets a little harder to get in to each academy. They take what they learned at HIMAX, and then they put it to use with industry leaders at HYPE, and those kids, they have to do, like, interactions with industry leaders with advocacy while they're at the conference.
Okay, and both of those are going to be kind of a virtual hybrid from what we understand at this point. I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work, and I don't know that the state level has that all figured out yet either. But
I think they're trying to get all the bumps out.
Sure.
But yeah.
Sure. Ellen, tell us a little bit more about your SAEs. You mentioned that they were swine production and country cured ham. Tell us a little bit more about what goes into each of those SAEs.
Okay, so with my country cured hams, that project starts in winter. So it's actually a very easy project. You get your raw ham and you cure it. It's usually brown sugar, salt, pepper, and you wrap it up and you hang it in a cooler place. We have a pump house on our farm. So we hang it there, and then in April, we actually did our hams last week. You take them down and you brush off all of the cure. You rewrap them and you hang them up. We usually do our grain bin. Then at fair time, you soak them just to get them more pliable, and then you shape them. We like to rub fat on our hams just to get them a little bit shiny, and then you present them at the fair. With the hams, you actually reminded me, we also have the option to smoke them. So you have smoked and unsmoked hams.
Okay.
We also, through FFA, you can also do bacon. So I usually do a bacon too. With my swine SAE, I did a round of hogs starting this last July, and I sold them in December. So to start that, I actually pre-sold my hogs just to cut down on some of the risk involved. And then I purchased 5 hogs from a local producer. And then from there, I raised them, fed them, cared for them for the next 6 months, and then dropped them off at the locker. It was really fun for me. Since I had such a low number, this sounds weird, but got to bond with them, I guess.
No, that makes perfect sense.
They have a lot of personality, so they're kind of fun. It was kind of sad to drop them off at the locker, but again, it was a really cool experience. I was hoping to do another round this spring, summer, but everything's kind of up in the air, sure. So we haven't completely figured that out yet.
Now, has this been your SAE for the entire time you've been in FFA, or have you done other SAEs in previous years?
Hogs, I started senior year. So my freshman year, my sister had been doing steers, and so I just kind of jumped in with a bottle calf and did that my freshman year. And then for sophomore and junior year, it was just hams and bacons, and then my senior year, I took up hogs.
Nice. And what is the you live on a family farm, obviously, because you were talking about the grain bin and things like that. Is it a diversified crop production, or is it all livestock, or kind of what's the farm life like?
The farm life is my dad and granddad. They farm about 150 acres, I'd say. We don't have any livestock, just the hogs for me, and then when my sister had cattle, so crops, basically.
Very good. Since you've been in FFA now for 4 years, what's been your favorite part of FFA?
Oh, goodness. I definitely like National Convention, just getting to travel 6 hours away and be surrounded by thousands of others, FFA kids. It's always really fun. My favorite thing back home, I don't know, dang. I'm in greenhouse class, so I really like growing the flowers and then going to the plant sale and stuff, and so that's really fun for me.
So your favorite memory of FFA probably involves convention, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
Is that something you care to share, or what happens in Indianapolis stays in Indianapolis?
A little bit of that. There's a lot. My freshman year, we broke an elevator. I won't go into too many details, but that was...
The statute of limitations has probably expired. It's fine.
It was at our hotel, so it was really kind of bad because we had to take the stairs for the rest of the trip. But that was really fun.
Well, it's definitely a memory.
Yeah.
Very good. Now, what are your plans after you graduate?
I plan on attending the University of Missouri Columbia. I want to earn my bachelor's in natural resource science management and then a minor in rural sociology.
Very nice. And doing what with that after graduation from Mizzou? What are the kind of the career thoughts?
My end goal is to go to law school and become an agricultural lawyer. So
very good.
Help producers and rural communities. And advocacy, all of that is very important to me.
What kind of an effect on you personally has COVID-19 had with relation to FFA?
It kind of spoiled FFA for my senior year because, no CDEs and LDs, no state convention or anything like that. But it's really taught you how much of an impact FFA has had on me because it's taken all that stuff away. You know, FFA is my sport in the spring.
Sure,
and
sure.
So I'm just kind of sitting at home, twiddling my thumbs, what do I do now that I don't have FFA? And Miss Allen and Mr. McBride have gone above and beyond making things accessible, still doing classes and stuff online. So I still get to be involved, just not as much as I'd like to be.
Something coming up that is still a go as far as we know right now, and I don't think this is probably going to change. The Northeast District FFA Expo comes back to the Audrain County 4-H Fairgrounds later on in the summer. Kendra, tell us a little bit about that. What are the dates for that?
So the dates for the expo are Sunday, July 26th, which is project drop-off, and then Monday the 27th and Tuesday the 28th will be your livestock shows and crop, flower, vegetable type judging.
And Ellen, have you participated in this before?
I have. I've actually shown flowers and crops, and then I've helped with the food stamp before.
Okay. And Kendra, how did this kind of come about? This is a relatively new thing, is it not?
It is. I don't remember exactly. I want to say it's year five or six. But there was some... So the normal district fair for the Northeast District is way up in Kirksville. And that's kind of a long ways for our kids to drive from the southern part of the district. And so there were some ag teachers say, why don't we do our own district expo on the southern end of the district. And luckily, Audrain County has really nice facilities, and we can hold that many people in a three-day span. And so that's kind of how they picked Mexico, why they picked Mexico. Advisors at R6, Ellsbury, and Paris kind of headed up. We kind of serve on the committee as facilities because we're here.
Sure.
We know the Fair Board, you know, the foundation, so we can kind of make those connections for them.
Good. And what can students expect if they have never exhibited here before? Is it basically a county fair type format, or is it something completely different?
So the classes all follow State Fair, which at the Audrain County Fair in the FFA division, we follow State Fair rules. So it's very similar for the kids in terms of what they can show in the building. The livestock classes are all the same, but it's kind of a step up from the county fair level. Competition's a little stiffer, but it's not quite at that State Fair level yet.
Who is the fair open to? Any FFA member in the Northeast District, or do they have to be at a certain grade level to be able to exhibit?
So in terms of who is eligible for FFA, like showing on the FFA side, is you have to have completed the seventh grade. And then your ag teacher has to sign off. Or if you have a junior high ag program or FFA, that teacher can sign off. So completed seventh grade and then till you're 21. And then anybody that their school is in the Northeast District within that age range can exhibit at the Northeast District Expo.
Oh, very nice. Does Mexico have a middle school program?
We have a middle school program. We do not have junior FFA, but we have Ag Club.
Okay. That pretty well kind of prepares them at the middle school level to come into FFA than at the high school level?
Right. Ms. Frazier is actually an alum of our program at the high school, and so she kind of knows what's coming. She was one of my students when I first started, so it's kind of cool to get to work with her in that kind of perspective. But so at the middle school, she does in a classroom, so it's a lot of basic knowledge, a lot of intro, and then Ag Club, we work with them a couple times a year with activities, so I can kind of start getting to know those kids. They can start seeing me, you know, kind of Mr. McBride, so faces are similar when they come to the high school, and that transition's a lot easier for them.
Do they get to take a field trip to the ag building over at the high school to kind of see what's going to face them?
Yes.
As a freshman?
So and I don't know if they did that this year or not, but typically in the spring they bus all the eighth graders over and they take a tour of the high school and the career center. And so they go through all the career center classes so they can kind of see, okay, what can I take as a freshman? What do I have to wait and take as a junior and senior?
Now, Kendra, how long have you been one of the ag teachers in Mexico?
This is year 8 at Mexico.
And did you teach elsewhere before this? I know you're from Centralia originally.
Right. So I taught 2 years of junior high science at Clopton right out of college.
Okay.
And then I moved back home for this job.
Well, I want to thank both Kendra and Ellen for coming in and giving up part of their Saturday morning. And what would you like to say to incoming FFA students?
Take a chance. I hear a lot, oh, the ag building's just for farmers. But I will tell you that agriculture is so much more than raising a cow or planting corn. There is so much other things that we discuss in class. The beef production unit is a very short unit compared to the whole school year. So please take a chance. Come down and see us. Meet with us. When we get to start having summer activities, incoming ninth graders can come to those and kind of try it out this summer.
Nice. Ellen, what advice would you give?
Kind of going off what she said, just get involved. I kind of had a leg in because my sister is older than me and she was in FFA, so I kind of already knew I wanted to do it. But if you don't have that, just don't be afraid to get involved. It's really fun. It changes your life, especially, like she said, if you're not from a farm background.
Sure, and there's something for everybody, whether they want to learn about gardening or floriculture, horticulture. It's not all about livestock.
Very true. We have a lot of kids. About 70% of our kids are non-traditional. And so that's kind of changed, you know, how we present material and what we teach in the shop, you know, what projects they're making in the shop. You know, traditionally you'd be making feed troughs and trailers. I don't think they made a single feed trough or trailer all year. They made deer stands and, you know, furniture for their house. Very cool projects in the shop. Not just feed troughs and trailers.
There you go. Ellen, Kendra, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Public Perspectives on AM 1340 KXEO.